And welcome to the Parkdale Haunt Q&A, and I guess later on bloopers episode. My name is Alex Nursall, and I am the co-creator, co-writer, director of the show, and I also play Judith.
Welcome, Alex.
Hello.
Hi.
Nice to hear you.
I just want everyone to know that we are in three separate rooms, so...
We are compliant.
Neither of us can see Ian.
Nope.
No.
Okay, so I'm Emily. I'm the other co-creator, co-writer, and I am the voice of Claire.
Hi, I'm Ian, and I am the sound designer and mixer for the show, and I also play Owen.
I'm the only one who gave a last name.
Right, last names. This is why we're better scripted. Okay, so let's jump in with some questions. The first question I wanted to address was one that we get a lot, and it is this your job?
No, this is not this is not for any of us our full-time job, which is, yeah, it's funny because I feel like it is definitely the question I feel like I've gotten the most, because I think... the podcast sounds very involved, and it is, but this is, in a lot of ways, a labor of love.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of technically speaking, this is my job. I am a sound designer and audio mixer, but, in this particular node, it's the collective labor of love kind of thing.
Yeah, and I guess Emily and I are both writers, but this is, if it was like, this is not our full-time gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the question really is, do you guys get paid to do this? The answer is no. We share ad revenue with our podcast network, but we are not earning any kind of a salary, and we're not rich yet. I'm waiting on that, Alex.
The real salary is the friend we've made. Oh, I messed that up. The real salary is the friends we've made along the way.
Yeah, but here's the problem. I was already friends with both of you before this started.
What about the other guys?
I was friends with them, too. How else do you think we got them on the show?
Okay, so let's go to some listener questions. You guys were nice enough to send us questions on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you.
So we will start with... The Riftwalker on Instagram wants to know what our favorite episode is.
That's a good one. I should have prepared.
I can start because it's kind of a two-way tie for me. Because it's going to be either, when it comes to like the full complete package, either episode 10 or the Christmas special. Those two are the ones for me that like... If I have to go back and re-listen to my own work, which is, like, deeply difficult, I think, for anyone in any creative thing, those are the two that I would go back and be like, yeah, I'm into this.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. In terms of, like, the sound design and stuff like that, 10 was a lot of fun for sure. And the Christmas episode was, like, you know, I got a lot of opportunity to... reach out into the ether and do some really kind of cool and out there stuff. But I also will throw that season 2 has some really awesome episodes in it as well.
Emily?
That's a great question. I think that I also love episode 10. It is one of the ones where we have pretty much the full cast, and there's the classic Ouija board scene, which is just, you know...
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was episode 5.
Oh, sorry. Episode 5, then. Episode 5 is my favorite episode. Yeah. Not episode 10. Episode 10 is the finale. What am I thinking? Episode 5.
Episode 5, that was a lot of fun to do just the sound design for, because that was Ian and I was in the booth, and all the sounds of the planchette and everything is me rubbing a glass on a table.
Yeah.
And just following along with the dialogue that we'd already recorded. And then I got to throw the table.
Yeah. Which was fun. And I learned what a planchette was.
Yes.
I think my other favorite episode, and this is just because it has one of my favorite scenes, which also includes great sound design, but okay, apparently I don't know which episode is which because they just have all blurred together in my mind as one big consecutive story. But I think it was episode 2 where the centipedes come out of the sink.
Yes, that's episode 2.
That's one of my favorite scares in the entire first season, because just like, if you don't know what a house centipede is, just Google it and then imagine.
Don't do it.
Just thousands of them coming out of your sink, and you're welcome for the nightmares if you didn't already have them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was creepy too, to sound design. I remember doing it, and like having to listen to that over and over for like 2 hours was like creepy as heck. But I remember Alex came in the first time I finished it and was like, can you turn those down a bit? Like, this is really intense. It's like, okay, yes. I went a little overboard the first round.
Cool. So another question from the Ripwalker is, what is your favorite part of making the podcast, and what is your least favorite part of making the podcast?
I think my least favorite part is it's when I get to the stage of like, I'm mostly done a script and I'm sitting there staring at it going like, where does this go? Where is this going? Please, God, have this work. And you're just trying to like will yourself to be creative, which is impossible. You can't. It doesn't work that way. But you know, like, and we're lucky enough that we haven't had to work under like crazy tight deadlines. Like, we have a little bit of leeway to kind of work on our own time to an extent. But there is a point where you're just sort of like staring at an episode going like, what the fuck do I do next?
I will jump onto that to say that that's also probably my least favorite part of making the podcast. Specifically, though, the continuity of the lore is like very difficult. Making sure that things don't contradict one another, making sure that it all makes sense in the grand scheme of things, I think for me is probably the most difficult part.
See, this is why people do like a lot of like nonfiction podcasts, because you don't have to deal with lore. The second you get into the fictional world and you have to have like a Bible to follow along with to be like, who is this? What? Huh? It just is like, oh my God. Okay, fine. I get it. It's there's times where I'm just like, I'm referencing things and I'm pulling up old episodes and I'm going through notes and I'm like, is this person dead? When did this happen? Oh, and you need it or else it's just a series of scary things that happen. But like,
yeah,
fuck the lore sometimes.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, I have made the promise to people that this isn't the television series Lost, so we're not just going to throw in things that never have a payoff. So I have to hold myself to that now.
It's been recorded.
Yes.
Anyway, so sorry to cut you off, Alex. What is your favorite part of making the podcast?
I think my favorite part is recording. I think the time spent in the booth has been some of the most fun. It's definitely been the most fun recording sessions. It's many sessions that I have done, I think, ever. Like, and I've been doing audio stuff since I was 15. So it's been, I spent a lot of time in various booths, and this has probably been the most enjoyable stuff I've done. Not just because it's like fun content to do, but because the cast is so great.
Aww.
And it's so enjoyable to be in the studio with you guys that I could just do that all the time.
Our salary is the friends we made along the way.
There you go. See? Paying dividends.
Yeah.
Okay, over to you, Ian.
Ooh, all right. The least favorite part. I don't know if I have, like, I can't think of something off the top of my head. I'll keep it all sound design related then, I guess. So there are certainly some times when there are a situation or like an environment that is, you know, I've never heard it before. Probably no one's ever heard it before. So what does it sound like? So that can be frustrating to try and figure that out. But at the same time, the most rewarding part of the podcast is when I figure that stuff out and I get into a flow. And then you're working and you're right in there in those spaces and things are coming to you and you're just moving along and existing in these environments and these situations that the characters find themselves in. And that ends up the most frustrating thing turns into the most rewarding thing, and it gets really exciting and get a lot of joy from that for sure.
That actually leads me into another listener question from Digital Roadmap on Twitter. They wanted to know basically where we get our Foley. Where do you get the sound effects that make up the outdoors in Parkdale Haunt?
Nice. Well, there's a lot of Foley, like physical Foley that goes on with all the physical movements and kind of acting related stuff. That's we all do that. We perform it as much as possible. And then the environment, so say the birds and the roads and the spaces, some of those we create from bits and pieces. Some of them have been recorded, you know, in and around the area. And we use sound design libraries as well to kind of fill everything. In any given scene, there's, you know, upwards of 8 different layers of things that kind of all come together to create that sound or that that space. And the idea or the hope is that while each space remains the same, consistent, I guess is a better word, it's not a carbon copy. So if you go to, say, someone's living room in one scene and then later on, it's the same, there's the same bass elements and the same kind of acoustic quality, but it's a different time of day. So there's, you know, either there's some birds or there's some quiet calmness or some crickets or different elements. So yeah.
Yeah. Cause even like the tone of a room really does change. And I usually try to include in the script, like if there's a time of day thing, especially if it like makes a difference, because like, you know, if you're in a neighborhood, well, it's going to make a difference if it's like 10 PM or if it's like noon, because like what's outside, what's happening, are there birds out or is it going to be like, are there lots of cars nearby, like,
yeah,
and these are all things. And I think just one interesting thing that I feel like people are find sort of surprising is that like a lot of the there's a lot of environmental sounds happening. You can hear people shifting and you can hear people like picking things up, and Ian, that's a lot of you just in the booth just acting along the dialogue is playing, you're listening to it and you're just putting coats on and picking things up and sitting down, and just so you're literally acting the whole scene out to get that environmental noise.
Yep. I'm gonna take it on the road, one man show, baby.
Come watch the incredible Foley man.
So I guess the other part of this question is a little bit more less practical, or not practical is the wrong word, ideological, which is how important was it for us to place this podcast in Toronto in a specific neighborhood?
Oh, good question.
Ooh, I would say pretty important. I feel like because it speaks to, I feel like somebody asked the question about where did this come from? And this ties into like the original inspiration for the podcast. And can I jump over to that? Because I saw somebody ask like, what was the inspiration?
Yes.
And the original inspiration was, hilariously enough, if you live in Toronto, you have probably read or heard of the Toronto Life article, the My Reno from Hell or The Reno from Hell. If you haven't, please go look it up. And basically about some people who renoed their house and it went very poorly. They lived in, but it was in Parkdale. And the whole thing was kind of a disaster for some self-imposed reasons. And the elevator pitch from Emily to me originally, because we were talking about writing some stuff and doing a podcast, and we were like, maybe we should, you know, like we should write some scripts together. Let's try this out. And her original elevator pitch was, what if the Reno from Hell, but actually? And that was the jumping off point where we started with, that was the original line. And then we were like, let's build this around like two friends, because it's easy to cast yourself. And it just kind of went from there.
Yeah. What Alex said, we wanted to literally renovate hell. I think we also wanted to sort of set it in kind of a gothic tradition. So this is very referential to sort of house horror and doing both sort of a psychological element of a woman who is slowly kind of unraveling at the same time she explores a house. And then that leads to what's at the core of the podcast, the relationship between Judith and Claire, and the kind of difficulties and challenges and complications that come with their relationship and female friendship in general. So it kind of all came from that one place, and then we just built it all out from there. So this question from Josh Cordell on Twitter is very appropriate for what we've been doing all day, because we've been recording all day. And Josh wants to know, what is the process of recording Parkdale Haunt like for you guys, in the sense of, did you break recording the episodes in chunks, or how did you organize it?
These recordings are chunky.
Oh, they're chunks.
I guess once Emily and I work on the scripts. Emily, do you mind if I just run at this question?
Yeah, of course. Go for it.
Yeah. Emily and I work on the scripts. Once the scripts are locked, we will start recording, and they are recorded just, it's all over the place. Like today, we've been in the studio all day today, and we have recorded stuff for episodes 11, 12, 15, 14, 20. Like, it's just, you're recording with who you can get at the booth at the time. So, like, you know, Ian and I recorded maybe like a week or so ago, and we recorded 11, 12, 17, and 19. And like pieces of those too. Like, it's not even a full episode. So we'll do them all sort of out of order. They're all sort of done. Whoever we can get in the booth, we'll try to get actors in for as short of a period of time as possible. Like, if they're in multiple episodes, but they're only in like parts, we'll try to get them in for like one session and just do it all at once. Like, we locked almost all of Adam's stuff, who's played by Carson Pinch, almost all of his stuff today. Once that's done, it goes to me. I do all of the dialogue, like cutting and tracking, and so setting all that up so everything's timed out, so that Ian's got something to work off of to make it sound good, because there is nothing less scary than listening to a horror podcast with no sound design in it. And every time I do it, I like cut all the dialogue, I listen through for the timing, and then I'm like, is this okay? This isn't scary at all.
And then we sprinkle the magic fairy dust on it, and boom.
Yeah, and then Ian is an artist, and he comes in and makes everything sound fantastic.
And I guess, yeah, just because of following all the protocols and stuff that we have to right now, making sure everyone's in their own separate studio and they're not recording in a room, you know, that's been a little bit different and a little bit challenging. Logistically speaking, for season two, there was a couple times in the olden times for season one, you know, we're able to get more people kind of in a room recording at once, which helped for some of those group scenes, but this new way of doing it actually works pretty well.
Yeah, most things are recorded two people at a time, because there's a lot of just two-person dialogue happening. Season one, we recorded episodes 5 and 10 on the same day with all four of us in the room together. So that's the only episode. Those are the only times that all four of us were there at the same time. Ian, you didn't even meet the guy who plays Austin Bird until the Christmas episode.
Yep.
Like, you never met Taylor.
Nope.
And the very last thing that we recorded for season one was two lines of Emily's from episode one that I had forgotten to get. And I remember that because I was like, everything's done. And then I was listening back, and it was placeholder lines that I had read, because you have also never met the woman who plays the neighbor. And when I recorded with her, I just read your two lines. And I was like, I'll get those from Emily the next time she's in the studio. And then I never did. And we had to lock everything so that Ian could finish up the sound design. And I was like, oh, shit. Right. And you had to come in to record like two words. So that was the last thing that was recorded for season one, was two lines in episode one.
So some of you guys had questions about season two and where it's going and the plot. And I'm sorry, we can't give you spoilers.
Tough beans.
One question I will answer, though, is from Art Dub Chal. I don't know how that's supposed to be pronounced, but on Instagram. And they just asked, is season two a continuation of the plot from season one?
Wouldn't you like to know?
A big spoiler, but yes, it is.
Yes.
We are continuing on from season one. So we'll be building on the story of Judith and Claire and Owen and I guess Adam. I guess he's here as well.
Poor Adam. Another sort of genre of questions we got is people wanted to know more about our inspirations. So someone on Twitter, Josh Cordell on Twitter, asked us, what is each of your favorite scary movies and or series?
Mm. Ooh, Emily, you are the scary movie person out of this group. Emily has watched, you did, like, was it 99 scary movies you did in 1 year?
Yes. Whoa. And I did that for 2 years. So I've seen, and before that I'd seen quite a few scary movies. Yeah, I love to talk about my favorite scary movies.
Please tell us more.
The first one that I, like, the first horror movie I ever saw, I believe I was either 9 or 10 years old, and I was at my grandmother's house in Saskatchewan, and I was watching TV in the basement, and The Shining came on.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Kubrick's The Shining. And I just absolutely adored it, much to the chagrin of my parents. And it is probably the first horror movie I remember just being like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. Since then, some of my more recent favorites are The Descent, which is about a group of girls who go caving and they get lost and chaos ensues.
Great book, by the way, as well.
Oh, I didn't even know it was based on a book.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I love the sort of claustrophobia of it. That's one of my biggest fears, is claustrophobia in general. So it really works for me. And it also is a really interesting dynamic between a really strong female cast. Another one I would put up in the top is The Wicker Man. Mm-hmm. But
please give there's a big asterisk on that one. Please go.
I have to give the asterisk that it is the original, I believe, 1976 Wicker Man, which does not have Nicolas Cage in it. So, and there are also no bees.
You're never going to bring back your stupid honey.
But it's an amazing movie, and I think it gets overshadowed by the terrible remake, so I would encourage everyone to watch that. Yeah, off the top of my head, those are my two favorites.
I have, like, garbage for brains when it comes to, like, the movies I watch. Like, I watch so many bad movies on purpose, so I feel like when it comes to horror movies, I was a huge coward for so long that, like, you know, watching them, like, just scared the living daylights out of me. But I think the first horror movie that I ever, like, really, really liked, but also it, like, gave me nightmares for, like, 10 years because I was, I don't know, 10 when I saw it, was Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Which just, like, I was, like, 10 years old. I watched it at my friend's place. It, like, ruined me. But that, I'm very much into the whole, like, the house, you know, the house which should be the safe space is not safe. So I've got a real soft spot for, like, also My Bloody Valentine, the original, I grew up north. I grew up in Sudbury. I grew up around a mine. I have been into parts of the mine, and there is just, it's horrible down there. It's just awful. So setting a horror movie in a mine, it's just, it makes sense. It sucks down there. But yeah, I love those. I loved, yeah, I even liked the remake. The remake is so dumb, but I really enjoyed it.
I like the remake too.
Right on. Yeah, for me, for sure, I have a love for The Shining. That was great. I remember watching it when I was pretty young, and then just kind of thinking, like, oh, this is kind of a boring movie. Like, what the heck is everyone on about this again? And then I watched it a few years later, and it was like, oh my God, this is intense, just because I could understand what the heck was happening. So that one's a great example for sure. But I think my favorite, if I can, like, nudge the genre of horror over a little bit into science fiction, Alien for sure is, like, one of my all-time favorite science fiction. And I would argue it's pretty horror-esque. There's a large alien monster out to get you in a confined space in outer space. So yeah. That's a little freaky.
I would 100% say it's a horror movie.
Okay, good. Give you some validation here, fella. Yeah. Thank you.
If The Thing is a horror movie, then Alien is a horror movie.
Okay, well, there you go. All right, so we're good. Yeah. We're good. Case closed.
Alien is too spoopy.
There you go. And Hocus Pocus.
Aww.
Because Bette Midler is awesome.
Well, that's just a classic.
Yeah, you can't not, right?
So, in that vein, we also had a request for some podcast recommendations. People who have blown through Parkdale Haunt can't get enough horror fiction podcasts. I did post a list of our favorites is on Twitter, but I thought maybe we could all speak a little bit more to some favorite podcasts.
I always come back to this one because this was one of the ones that really inspired me for doing this podcast, both in like the tone and also just the overall like sound quality. Video Palace, which is on Shudder, and I guess just all over wherever podcasts are, which is everywhere at this point. Video Palace to me is one of the few ones that, like, the first time I listened to it, like, legitimately freaked me out. It's so well done. It's so creepy. It's short. It's only 10 episodes of, like, the full story. There's, like, a few things that they've added on since then, but, like, it's very condensed. But it's one of the best sounding ones. And I know that it's, like, for so many people, like if you don't have access to like a professional studio and professional engineers, it can be very hard. Like their credits list is like 95 people long, but yeah, Video Palace, highly recommend.
Very cool.
I have to go with a horror podcast that Alex introduced me to, which is the British horror fiction podcast, The Magnus Archives. It's fun. It's about sort of like an archive of spooky stories. So you just have an archivist who is reading out spooky stories, and it kind of leads into this meta plot as it goes. So it's really long, which is great if you're looking for a lot of content and just looking for like a podcast that can stand alone with each episode, but also is kind of serialized in an interesting way.
That podcast taught me one very important thing, and that is, do not share a name with one of your characters.
Yes. The creator, his name is Jonathan Sims, and he named the main character after himself. And this podcast has been a huge cult hit, and it has a lot of fan fiction. So I can't imagine all of this fan fiction with your name attached to it.
Yeah, it would just completely destroy your ability to Google yourself.
Because obviously we understand the instinct, because Claire and Judith, while they're not me and Alex, they still share a lot of the same traits, and it's just kind of easy to it's rewarding to base fiction off of what you know and from a familiar place and then go from there. So I totally get it. But yeah, that must have been an early decision, which I can't imagine he's super stoked about.
Right on. And yeah, for me, I've a couple old school favorites for sure. I was really into Limetown when it came out.
Oh yeah,
not about Limetown.
And that was I really liked all the treatments and the sound design and the environments and stuff in that podcast. I thought it was really, really well done and like really scary and got its hooks into you, which is great. And the message was pretty good too. And I really like, it's maybe not technically horror, but The Stuff You Should Know with Josh and Chuck. Their Halloween episodes are always super spooky. A lot of the time they have either a spooky reading of a story, or they have, in the past, they've done listener fiction that they read, which can get intense.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's another sort of creepy question. What is the creepiest place you've been to in Toronto?
Ooh. Okay. Gotta think.
I think I know. And the answer is, this is highly specific. I went to U of T. I worked in a residence there. And it was older, and it was originally like there was a men's residence and a women's residence. Like, they're both just like co-ed now, but at the time this was the men's residence, so they were just like, men don't like interior decorating. Like, they don't care for nice walls. They just need a place to do their man things. I don't know what they are. Ian, please tell me what man things are.
Nope, trade secret.
Oh, damn it. But the main thing I always remember is that I worked an overnight job there as a porter, and the basement was just one of the worst places. It was, you'd have to go down there like three times during your shift to like walk around to make sure, I guess, that like nothing had died down there. And it was concrete everywhere. It was only lit with like awful fluorescence. There was always like one wet patch on the ground in this one corner. It was shaped like a big C, so you'd get to one side and you could see all the way down. There were drafts. There was like random rooms down there, but they were really spaced out. So you would go for like these long periods of time with just like doors to nowhere. And there was one section on one end of the C where you'd go down a hallway and there was like a bricked up door.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And there was like, and usually like a wet patch around there. It was just like the worst place. And there were definitely times that I would just be like, it would be like 3 o'clock in the morning and I would just like put my head down the stairs and be like, any murderers down there? And then just like not go down because it was awful down there. And you would just, and it echoed weird. So somebody would like do something on the other side of the sea and you would hear it. So
sounds cool.
So yeah. So yeah, there's like maybe like 15 people who are listening who are like, I know where that is.
So I'll follow this up with another one for the University of Toronto folks out there. Alex and I both attended University of Toronto. That's where we met. U of T is interesting. It has a giant library called Robarts.
The brutalist masterpiece that it is.
Yes. It is just a giant piece of concrete with tiny windows in a shape that some people call a turkey, some people call it peacock. I was told in urban legend that the architect threw himself off of the top yelling, "It is not a turkey."
I never heard that, but I love it.
I'm positive that is not true.
I feel like it's a stork.
But so when you go in, there are some study rooms on the first three floors or so. But then you have to take an elevator, which goes up to like the 10th floor or something. And there are all of these stacks. And they're set up in kind of like a circular way. But they have fluorescent lights that are on timers. So when you walk by, they click on and click off. And there are also like study tables. So sometimes if you're there just late at night and kind of just out of your mind with sleep deprivation, you'll see out of the corner of your eye the light flick on and flick off, but you don't see anyone. And you're like, I know this is coming from movement, but I don't think anyone's there.
U of T is just, we could have just said large chunks of U of T are some of the spookiest places. Like University College interior is terrifying. I did an art degree, so what is now like a big fancy building at One Spadina Crescent, it used to be the scariest fucking building at the University of Toronto. Like, there were, like, it used to be like a medical space, so there's doors you could open that were like refrigerator doors, but there was like no windows in the room and you could get locked in there. It was just like, it was literally a nightmare building, and I had spent time there at like 4 a.m. and it was one of the worst experiences of my life.
Well, that building, One Spadina Crescent, that has an actual real thing where people were ghost hunting and fell to their deaths.
Yeah, and there was a professor who was murdered there, I think right before I started at U of T.
That is terrifying.
Unsolved. So.
All right, so throwing this over to Ian, creepiest place in the GTA.
Oh, man, I don't know. I've been thinking about it. So in grade school, I was super cool.
Obviously.
And we had a ghost club.
Aww.
And ghost club would, we had the super skill of like psyching ourselves out so much while hunting quote-unquote ghosts, that literally any place we went to was a ghost-filled nightmare in our own minds. So that was cute. I used to work at the Mount Pleasant Cemetery back in the day, and it's a really, really beautiful place in the daylight. And the western half has a bunch of really, really, really super old mausoleums from kind of the old families of Toronto. And some of them are massive and really, really, again, gorgeous in the daylight. Nighttime, when you're there all by yourself, they can get pretty creepy. Definitely that freaked me out. Aside from that, I can't think of anything else.
Have you considered hanging out in some basements at U of T?
I know, right? I went to Ryerson. It was all new. So
Ryerson can be creepy. I'll just answer this question. My father would like to know if we'll be getting tips on how to repair a porch.
What's up, Dad?
To which
Hi,
I
Mr.
replied,
Kellogg.
Dad, I'm glad that you're worried about the safety of my character, but I think that the ghosts, etc., of the house were a more pressing concern than the porch. But it does get fixed. Do I know how to fix a porch? No.
Do I know someone who knows how to fix a porch? I think.
But I promise the fictional porch has been fixed. So thank you, Father, for that question.
If we had to rank us, like me, you, Ian, and we'll say Carson, because Carson plays Adam, who from least able to fix a porch, like right now, if it was like, go. Like, least able to most able to fix a porch.
Oh, easy. Least able, me. Second least able, probably Carson. Third least able, or second most able.
Glass half full.
Gonna go with Ian. Most able to fix a porch, Alex. Ooh. I just feel like you could do it.
I'm on board with that.
I am wearing a lot of plaid right now.
Yeah. I think my version would be like, I think that's enough duct tape.
This is why we make podcasts and don't build houses.
Yeah. No, I still would be like, just don't sit on that corner.
Yeah.
It's okay.
My sister-in-law is a structural engineer, and she wouldn't let me near anything like that.
Well, it's good you have someone who can you can ask if you need to.
Or someone to tell me, no, don't do that.
Or that. I think as far as I can tell, the last listener question we had was, do you guys have any other podcast ideas? Any other podcasts rattling around in your brain?
I have always wanted to do one. Maybe I'll do this someday. Please do not steal. People listening, I'll find you.
I see through the ruse.
Oh, yeah. This is why the listener asked that.
Do I
tell
monkey.
Them or do I keep it secret?
Do a fake one.
Well, if we if we publish this, then people will know it was your idea first.
Yes.
Oh, actually, that's a good idea. Good point.
I've always wanted to do a podcast in which it is just like a nonfiction one in which it is just either it's because I get like Emily can attest to this. Ian can attest to this, too. You both put up with me too much and that I'll get like fixated on something like usually in pop culture and just be like, this is driving me nuts. And like the quintessential example is that Emily and I watched 50 Shades of Grey, the second one, and there's a helicopter crash scene in it. And like before the scene was even done, I was like, hang on a second. Like logistically this makes no sense. Like he's crashing somewhere outside Mount St. Helens. Like that's where he is and he's got to make it back to Seattle. And like, how did he do it? Like I could do a PowerPoint on this and I would like to do a podcast in which it's either me or somebody who has like these same sort of like fixations on something called like Talk Me Down. And it's just, trying to like work through these things and trying to either convince the other person that like, no, this is important, or have the other person be like, okay, man, it's okay. Like, you like deep breath. We don't need to talk about the finances. And I still know what you did last summer again, because I'm still obsessed with it.
Yes, I was going to say, I too am obsessed with that one. And I think you calculated what it would cost for the murderer to have set up the elaborate plot of I know what you did last summer too.
I spent like 4 hours one morning, like digging through historical records for like how much it would cost for a flight so I could like accurately price it out. And just being like, I'm going to figure this out, man. This guy's got to be, because I'm like, this character is technically dead and he doesn't have a job and he's paying for like 6 flights and a week at a resort just so he could kill them. He knows where she lives. Why doesn't he just do it there?
That'd be a short movie.
Well, yes, but...
but who's bankrolling this?
Yeah, exactly. I still know what you did last summer. It was go to this resort and not die. And I want that person who is paying for this to show up. And I'd like to also just publicly apologize to both of you, because I know that you've both had to listen to me, like, get into these moods.
I'm still really invested in both of those things, so.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So I think that concludes, unless I magically find something else on our Instagram and Twitter, I think that concludes our listener questions. But do we have any questions for each other?
Anyone want to start a porch repair podcast?
Oh, sorry, Ian. I cut you off before. Do you have an idea for a podcast?
That was it. Yeah. Right. No. I love sci-fi, so I'd love to do a sci-fi podcast of some sort.
We had started something.
We did, and a lot of that sound design and stuff was really cool, like clangy spaceship, you know, air recyclers and stuff like that. Anyway, yeah, TBD.
Very cool. And yeah, I don't know. I don't really have any other specific podcast ideas, so we can move along.
Right on.
If we have questions for each other.
What?
Oh, here's one. Here's one that we get asked a lot is, how long does it take to make an episode?
Oh, I did this math at one point.
I'm curious to hear it.
If I kind of cut the writing part of it out, because the writing is so all over the place, like we'll start it and then like an episode will sit around for like months and then we'll finish it. Like, so like ignoring the writing part, which is very piecemeal and all over the place, and Emily and I are sending scripts back and forth, blah, blah, blah. I would say that from the time that we get into the booth to the time that an episode is locked, between recording, like the dialogue editing, sound design, and any sort of revisions, is about 24 hours an episode.
Yep. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So that is why you guys have to wait so long for season 2.
Yes.
Takes a minute. Yeah, it varies for sound design, kind of dependent on the content of the episode, obviously. Like, there's some, like, episode 10 of last season, you know, that took a lot longer than, say, I think it was episode 2 or something, that had more of the kind of in-studio conversation type stuff. Obviously, you don't have to sound design that very much. There is still a little in there if you listen. But, yeah, it kind of varies. I would say between, you know, 6, 7 to 10 to 12 hours to kind of put all of that stuff in place and give it the proper listens and the final shine, as you would say.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
And that is, yes. Do you guys, is there a scene in season 1 that like sticks out in your mind for like whether you love like the way it sounds or like the way it's acted or something like that, or if it's just like something you had a lot of fun doing? Like, is there something from season 1 that sticks out to you?
Yeah, I got one. I think in the Christmas episode where A-Bird gets dumped into the grave and is like buried alive, that was super fun and super cool to sound design. I really like that part.
Yeah, on that note, I always have so much fun recording with A-Bird, who's played by a great actor and comedian, Taylor Davis. He's just so funny, and I'm always cracking up.
Hell of a guy.
Yeah, Taylor is a joy to record with, and yeah, I think he just makes that character so much fun, so good. Emily, do you have?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I already talked about my love of the House Centipedes, and I really enjoyed shouting at them. I think all the time in the studio, really, that I was shouting and screaming was so cathartic. It was wonderful.
Yeah, for sure. There was definitely some of that.
One of the ones I found the most interesting for me when we were recording it was the end of episode 9. And that's when, like, the recording's coming back and screaming at them and Judith and Owen, and, like, things are falling and Owen storms out. And that was very interesting to record because I don't think, like, Ian, I've never heard you, like, get mad. So
I just get even.
Yeah. Exactly. So that was one of the first, like, moments where it was, like, I think, especially for our characters who tend to be sort of a little bit more measured through season one, where stuff starts to, like, really go off the rails. And it was very interesting to be in the booth while you're just, like, yelling at me.
Yeah, that was intense for sure. All right, I got a question for both of you. All dressed or ketchup chips?
Ooh.
This is important.
So I'm sorry. I'm about to make a lot of listeners hate me.
Are you going to say barbecue?
No, I will go with all dressed, but I have to say I hate ketchup just in general. So
ketchup chips are just out of the picture
for you. Yeah, to me, ketchup chips are the devil. But all-dressed chips, fantastic.
I dig it. I'm going point to all-dressed myself.
Yeah, I would be in the all-dressed category. Although I do like ketchup chips, but my thing is that I
won't say no to a ketchup chip.
No.
Let's just say that.
But I feel like I'm the kind of person who's like, are these chips, like, they better be ruffled or something.
I need more.
Yes, like none of these ones where it's like, ooh, they're crumbling away in my hand. Like, I want a chip that fights back.
It's got to have some substance.
Yeah, I want to regret eating it because it's cut my gums open.
There you go. Well, I'm glad we sorted that out. Thank you.
That was some good Canadian content for you too, because they.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about,
right? This is our CanCon bit.
Yeah. Is that 33%?
I once had somebody ask me, do you have anything in common with your character? And I can at least say for mine that I also am bad at naming files.
Yes, she is.
Oh. And so that is probably the most accurate or biographical thing for me with Judith.
Right on.
I don't know if you guys have found things other than Ian that you are also an engineer and Owen is an engineer.
Yeah, there's that. Owen is like, he likes to eat. So do I. So, as prefaced by the chip question earlier, that's season 2. Sorry, zip.
So the only thing I can really, I mean, I have very surface level things in common with Claire. I am 30. I used to work in media before I lost my job because of COVID. I live in Toronto. I lived in Parkdale for 5 years. And otherwise, just like on a more like a note of just like how she is, I definitely empathize with her dealing with just her mental breakdown. I've been there.
It was season 1 was a lot of fun. Season 2 is
gonna be more fun.
Ooh.
Or equal or more fun.
I like both of those.
Okay,
right.
Are there any teases that we want to give for season 2?
No one's life's getting any better. We were finishing up season 1 and I made a comment to Ian about how like you can really hear how it's like from like episode 1 to episode 10, how it's wearing on Judith, and he just went, "Yeah, she's really going through it." she's only going through it more in this season. So, Ian?
Yeah, I mean, without giving anything away, there are some pretty ambitious and interesting scenes and some more iconic Toronto locations. So, you know, hold on for that.
But yeah, I think that's, it's been a very, I mean, I enjoyed making season 1 quite a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you guys did as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess after this, if you want to keep listening, there is a whole bunch of bloopers coming your way because I kept every blooper.
Oh, God.
I kept so many of them. They are all... I love them all. They are all my little goofy babies. and yeah, I guess if you want to keep in touch, check us out on Twitter at Parkdale Haunt. You can check us out on Instagram, also at Parkdale Haunt. I think we're going to be putting some merch up this year. Please buy some merch. Buy a shirt.
Yeah.
I hope you had fun listening to this. Hope you had fun listening to the first season. And hope you all tune in to season 2 coming out in September.
Yeah, we don't have an official date, but we will be sure to announce it as soon as we do. But it will be in September.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Keep your eyes peeled for some small things coming out, maybe some fun promos. And yeah, just glad. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. We have been really blown away by the reaction to the podcast. We did not expect so many people to engage with it and love it, and it means the world to us.
You guys rock.
It is amazing. I'm every day I'm like so thankful that people love this.
Yeah, it's our weird little baby.
it has been truly, truly amazing to see all the positive feedback and the people and the people who have downloaded it and just the people who are contacting us about it. We got fan mail, like that's super fun. that's a first for me.
We also got someone who was trying to burn us by saying it was a good podcast if you're a wine mom, but jokes on them because wine moms are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, all three of us are, like, two steps away from just being a wine mom.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Chardonnay all day.
Rosé all the way.
Oh, that's it. Damn.
Oh, Chardonnay all day works.
Yeah, okay. It rhymes.
I'm more of a Sauvignon Blanc guy, but...
Yeah, I'm like a Piquette loser because I don't drink that much wine.
I'm a Pinot Noir gal.
Ooh.
Pinot Noir.
Oh, so it works out. We have a rosé person, a red person, and a white person.
See, that's why it works, guys.
Exactly. Aww.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Let's go have some wine.
Okay, we're going to go. Let's go have some wine in separate rooms.
Right, there's still a pandemic. Mm.
Yes. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for tuning in. We will add us on Twitter, add us on Instagram, and thanks again.
Thank you, thank you.
Bye.
Shall I do the ceremonial beep?
Please do.
All right. Beep!
Did your latest meeting of the Historical Society for the Preservation of Ill-Advised Clothing have a roundtable about it?
Boosh.
I get to be Owen.
Yeah, you gotta get that lower register
I'm
going.
Ian now.
Yeah, that'll help me get in character. I'm method acting, bitches.
That's cool. I can sound more tired. I got that in sports.
We both have to just really dig down and be tired.
Think of 6 hours ago.
Yeah.
Thank you. Also now. All right.
Did you know that you have a weird fetish about, like, facing things head on?
Oh, that's not my only fetish.
I don't know what to say.
Hey, Judith. It's Adam. Adam Lusitania.
You look great. Wow, Claire, you really look great. Blah, blah, blah. I'm disgusted.
I'm disgustingly beautiful.
You are. It's so upsetting.
Creepy lady, not a fan of us.
Creepy lady is coming for you. Yeah. She's gonna eat your soul and make your bones into glue.
We appreciate you, Carson.
We do.
Oh, I really have no place else to go.
I am so alone. God.
The way you said chock-a-block was really impressive.
I've never heard that phrase before, so I had to guess what it was supposed to sound like.
It was perfect.
Chock-a-block. Like, I guess that's what it should be. Awful phrase.
You will bleed and perish and your... fuck. You will bleed and perish, and your blood... Yep.
I'm unsure. Will the blood do it? What's it going to do?
I don't know about the blood. I'm out.
Can I actually get a cab chit? Yeah. I don't want to be in this cult anymore.
I like the idea of the awkward cultist who's like, I don't know, guys. This seems a bit
little intense, guys.
You really shouldn't lure... Oh, there we go. There we go. There we go. Ha. Oh. I don't know what I'm doing. Here, 1 second. Tuts. I never tuts in my life.
Cha, cha, cha.
Hey. Cha, 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 cha.
And in an academic setting?
Depends.
On what?
On how many of my students are still awake once I start my lecture. I'm all sorry, right. I put on a voice. No,
no. Nyak, nyak, nyak,
nyak, nyak. Okay, I'll do that again.
All right, we're walking.
We're walking.
Feeling good.
Not really, actually.
Oh,
we're feeling bad. We're feeling weird. Okay, I'll pack up. I'm sorry. I love you. Just let me dangle here. Jesus. Well, I'll just leave then.
Bye.
I love me too.
Thanks.
I'm very flattered.
Just as a friend.
I love you too, as a friend.
Wait, was there another option?
Oh. There was like a tweet going around about like how if you see Poirot while you're on vacation, you have to either like stay with him at literally all times or get the hell out of there.
Right? I also feel like Owen is the kind of person who like 100% watches like Midsommar Murders. He like definitely does.
The best kind of person.
Judith watches Bachelor in Paradise. But like doesn't admit to it.
Nice.
Yeah, we're officially at the stage now where Judith and Owen should be fucking running.
Get out.
Get out. Get out.
Pork chop sandwiches.
Yes, in my version, Claire stares at a bird through a window and bites the head off of a bird.
Stares at it through the window and then bites. Oh, stares at Austin bird.
Austin through
and
a window.
And then eats a bird.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that.
Thank you. Alex, let's bring it back.
But what kind of bird? What do you picture in your head? What's the bird you're tearing to pieces?
I was thinking like a sparrow, just because it's small enough to fit in your house or in your mouth.
Yeah, the poor bird. Hey guys.
Hey.
Fuck.
Get the fuck out of here, man. Owen's fed up and he's throwing shit at you.
Sorry, can I do that one again?
Yes.
Right.
It's one take only, Taylor.
I'm just saying.
It's live.
I didn't know
this podcast is live, okay? Did we not tell you that?
It's ruined.
That should have been said way long ago.
This podcast would be called Trust Issues, the podcast.
Very nice.
Respect boundaries.
All right. Be.
Okay, sad.
Beep. That was fucking scary. Nicely done.
Parkdale Haunt is an original podcast created and written by Alex Nursall and Emily Kellogg. Directed and produced by Alex Nursall. Engineering and sound design by Ian Bodie. Recorded at Pirate Toronto. Presented in partnership with the Frequency Podcast Network. You can find us and all the other Frequency podcasts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com.